1A. I'm Sasha Ann Simons in Washington. The message is clear. Stay home, stay safe. Around 3/4 of the U.S. population are now under orders from state and local officials to shelter in place. So today on the show, we thought we'd talk about something that's very shelter in place friendly. A good book. If you don't feel like dusting off The Grapes of Wrath, for instance, there's plenty of good reasons to pick up the aptly named and perfectly timed novel, It's Not All Downhill From Here. Joining us from her home in California is its author, Terry McMillan. Terry McMillan is probably best known for previous work, including books like Waiting to Exhale and How Stella Got Her Groove Back, which was adapted into a movie starring Angela Bassett and Taye Diggs. Terry, welcome to 1A.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot for having me.
My pleasure. Terry, you know, in this pre-COVID-19 world, you had planned to be on a book tour right now, correct?
Yes, I was. Yeah. 15 cities.
Right. How many cities? 15?
I think it was 15.
So how have you been spending your days instead?
Washing my hands.
Yes. That's a great
point. Doing laundry.
Yes.
Tweeting.
Tweeting. Speaking of tweets, you know, It's Not All Downhill From Here is out. That's the title of your latest book. And I noticed your tweet yesterday. You said that you got a special gift. It was a card, was it, from your son?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us
I'm
about that.
I'm looking at it right here.
Oh.
Don't make me cry.
What did it say?
Well, it has a little, like a little baby coyote or something on the front. It says, you should be proud of yourself. And then on the inside, it says, everybody else is. And then he just said, Mom, happy publication day. Congratulations on another successful novel.
Aww. That is so, and that's your one and only, right?
Wait. He said, your fans, myself included, are going to love and enjoy this one. I know how hard you've worked and finished it, and your hard work always pays off. Although it is unfortunate that you were unable to tour, lots of people are going to have more time to read and will pick up a copy of It's Not All Downhill From Here. Aww. Love, Solomon.
That is very sweet. Very, very sweet. And he's your one and only, correct?
Yep.
Oh, that's very sweet. Very sweet. It's not a... Go ahead.
I said to my 6'2" baby.
So It's Not All Downhill From Here. You know, that sounds like the type of positivity we all need to hear right about now. Tell us what you mean by that phrase. Why'd you call the book It's Not All Downhill From Here?
Well, a lot of people, particularly young people, and even some older people, think that, you know, when you reach a certain age, you know, and I think with each generation, the age changes, that life really is all downhill, that all your fun is spent having a good time, partying, that, you know, you only start doing things that old people do. And it's such a stereotype. And I just rejected it. I've rejected it for a long time. And I don't want to say the cliche, you're only as old as you feel. But I just think that there's a misinterpretation of aging. That in our generation right now, it doesn't apply. It just doesn't apply.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my mother was 59 when she passed away. And they considered her an elderly person back then.
She was 59?
I just don't buy it.
5'9"?
59.
Hmm. Many of your stories draw from your personal experiences, Terry.
No, they don't.
They don't? So tell me, where are you getting your inspiration from?
Mostly one of them. And that was Stella. But even that, I made a lot of that stuff up. I don't just reenact on paper, you know?
So you made... That's interesting. So it was loosely based then, Stella, on your previous marriage?
Yes, loosely.
Loosely based.
Yeah.
Well, then your inspiration for this latest work, where did you draw that from?
You know, this was totally fabricated. It wasn't really based on anybody. I don't know a LaRetha. I just made her up. Her husband, her friends, I made them all up. I just wanted to be able to show a woman who, I mean, it was sort of, in a way, it was like a fantasy.
Yeah.
To have a woman who was in her mid to late 60s, and I wanted her to do something that was totally what some would not think was realistic. And I had her own a beauty supply. And, you know, I spent a lot of money in beauty supplies.
haven't we all?
That would be so cool. And then I wanted her to have a posse of friends, which most of us do, and I do. They don't all live in California, but, you know, I have friends that I've known, not so much since high school, but some since college, and we don't all live together. But, you have to exaggerate when you tell a story.
Yeah.
Live. So I just wanted to know what it might be like. I don't have a daughter. I don't have a child that suffers from mental illness or drinking. But I know of and have read about and seen a lot of people who, you know, suffer from a lot of these issues. But I just gave my characters a lot of personality, I think.
Yeah, and speaking of that circle of friends, that sister circle, I can still remember seeing Waiting to Exhale on the book on our coffee table at home and on some of my aunt's bookshelves. I remember it was, at the time, it was either your books or self-help books from Jan LaVincent. yeah, and Terry, let me just tell you, I had no business reading Waiting to Exhale at that time, but I certainly peaked. and then the film came out in 1995. We have a clip from Waiting to Exhale. This is where the character Bernadine, played by actress Angela Bassett, is blindsided by her husband who wants a divorce.
I guess there's no appropriate time to tell you this, but I'm going to the party, just not with you. She.
She?
Yes. She doesn't want to be alone tonight, and I was thinking, why should she be?
It's that who keeps your books, isn't it? And you picked tonight to flaunt your in front of all your business partners and your friends. What the hell are they supposed to think, John?
The truth. Finally, the truth. I'm leaving you for her.
Oh, I remember that scene. I wish we could have played the rest of that. That wasn't your first book, Terry. But for much of the world, it was our introduction to you. You know, for many, that movie resonated because of how painfully real it was. What do you remember about the feeling back then? Because that was when it wasn't your first book, but we first were introduced to you through Waiting to Exhale, right? Was there like a sudden taste of fame?
Oh, Lord, yes.
Yeah.
It was pretty surreal, to be very honest with you, because it got to the point where, you know, my phone would ring back then on the New York Times. You knew what the following weeks where you were going to be on a list. And, you know, at first I didn't believe it was even on the list. And then every Tuesday after that, by the time we got to 23 weeks, I just said, you know, could you stop calling me? Because it was really kind of creepy. It was so surreal that it was creepy. And it just seemed like something terrible was going to happen when it ended. But it was on the list for 37 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
I really couldn't believe it. But, you know, I didn't walk around thinking, oh, I'm Miss Hotsy Totsy. That didn't happen.
Okay.
It didn't, and it never has. And since then, it's never happened. I just am very grateful that people like my stories.
And as you've gotten,
I feel that way now.
Yeah, and I was going to say, as you've gotten older, just real quick, I've noticed, or you can tell me, is there a change in how you approach your writing?
No, I just have tried to become a better liar. I mean, the idea is that I mean, everything in this book is made up. None of this stuff happened. None of it. I made everything up.
Yet it's so realistic.
But that's the beauty of diving into your characters. I mean, I do character profiles, so I knew who her friends were, what their issues were. And the bottom line is I wanted all of her characters to be different. And I'm also, when you reach a certain age, you know, you start losing people. And I've lost friends, I've lost a family member, and I'll put it this way, I did not know that something tragic was going to happen to her husband. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Because when you write, you jump out of your own skin. And if you don't, then to me, I call it literary masturbation. I'm more interested. I sort of become these characters, and it's what allows me to tell their truths instead of mine.
And we'll dive a bit more into Laretha Curry, the character in It's Not All Downhill From Here. More conversation with best-selling author Terry McMillan coming right up. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Home Instead Senior Care. Bonnie, a Home Instead caregiver, knows that building trust is essential to forging strong relationships with her Home Instead clients.
I seen the ad in the paper and I called, and 3 days after I was hired, I was with my very first client. You've got to have patience in order to be a good caregiver. You've got to build up the trust.
I just love it. I couldn't ask for a better job or a better client.
To learn more or to search for available senior care job opportunities with Home Instead Senior Care, visit homeinstead.com.
Do you talk about news with your friends, your family, or perfect strangers? Get the facts you need to be up to speed on this busy news cycle so you can share what you know on the 1A News Roundup. Find the podcast in your feed every Friday.
When the economy goes haywire and you need a podcast to turn to, Planet Money is here for you.
Are we already in a recession?
There's no question that we are about to enter a period of substantial slowdown in the economy.
Listen to NPR's Planet Money, emergency podcasts whenever the news demands it.
We are back with Terry McMillan, a best-selling author. Terry, I want to start by reading you a tweet here from Pamela. Pamela tweets, "Terry is a master of dialogue. My girlfriend and I would call each other and reread funny passages. I have to make sure my work is done, or else I will sit on the couch and binge read until finished." Aww. And she asks, "What is your writing process?" So now you've already told us a bit about It's Not All Downhill From Here and how you sort of drummed up these characters in your mind. But what's your general process?
Well, you know, I write as if no one's ever going to read it, first of all, because if not, you're too self-conscious. And I don't feel like I'm writing. I feel like I'm just like a conduit. So basically, I also do character profiles, so I have some sense of who each character is and their idiosyncrasies, their issues, and just their voices. And from there, they converge. And so I can always tell who's talking and what someone else is bringing to the table, what's their backstory. And from there, the characters dictate to me what they say when they say something stupid or funny or smart or snarky. And I'm telling you, I just reread the book right before the book came out. Oh. And I am not kidding you, I did not remember writing a lot of this. I did not.
Wow.
I read it almost as if I did not. I didn't remember writing this. And I don't do drugs.
No, I can believe you. When I host this show, I often don't remember what happened once the hour
yes,
is done.
And so it's an amazing experience.
It's an adrenaline rush.
I mean, it really is. And you just say, oh my goodness, did she really just say that? Or, oh no, that he didn't.
Any coincidence?
And, I mean, I cry. I fall out laughing, all of it, just like a normal reader would who, I mean, I don't want to say a normal reader, but I did that for 2 days. I was like, I just could not believe. I don't know where this stuff came from. And that's the beauty of telling a story.
Any coincidence that Laretha, your character in It's Not All Downhill From Here, she's also 68?
No, you know what? The thing is I didn't want her to be 70. When I started writing this, I wasn't 67 yet. I was 66 when I first started. And after, you know, it takes a while for a book to actually hit the bookstores. And it just so happened, I wanted her to probably turn 69. I didn't want her to be 70. And so I just gave her that age.
Well, all this talk about it, let's hear a bit from your new book, It's Not All Downhill From Here. Here's an excerpt where your protagonist, Laretha, is reflecting on her 68th birthday and what she was like when she was in her 20s. Whenever you're ready, Terry.
Okay, let me see.
Thank God I got tired of thinking about things that didn't matter and realized I liked the way I felt when I wasn't under the influence of anything. And when I didn't like how I felt, it was a hell of a lot easier to figure out how to deal with it when my head was clear. Anyway, now I'm a certified senior citizen and my mind has earned the right to go wherever it wants. So I decided that when I can't remember something, it must not have been that important anyway. But sometimes when I do remember it, it feels like an accomplishment.
What are you trying to tell us about life there?
You know, that you have to go with the flow. And, you know, sometimes there are just things that we have to do. Sometimes we just give ourselves permission to do whatever we feel like doing. And some of it is stupid. And some of it is harmful. And just not smart. And my attitude is that I think as we get older, it's in our best interest to pay more attention to our health, physically, all of it, emotionally. And this is a really good time when you have to own up to when you've been lying to yourself and treat yourself better now than you may ever have, because we do not get a do-over, last time I checked.
Absolutely. Your stories, they always center on issues that we go through as women, you know, ups and downs. But I find the books are written in a way where all women can relate, you know, not just African-American or Black women. Can you speak to that? Because I know sometimes you're spoken about as, you know, an author for Black women. But, you know, I'll see you do talks and the audience is mixed. So obviously you have fans from all over.
I'll put it this way. You know, I read everybody. And when I read a book by white authors, I don't think, gee whiz, these white people are just like us. I've never done that before, you know. And when I read, you know, Spanish writers or whatever. But I write about what I know about. And the bottom line is this: we are all the same when it gets right down to it. Our emotions are universal. There is no color on it. And sometimes some of the specifics might have to do with race or ethnicity, but emotionally, there is no differentiation that can be made. And I think smart people know that.
Yeah.
We just do. It's like me not listening to music by white people.
Right, which wouldn't make sense. And so, Terry,
I would never have read Gabriel Garcia Marquez, I'll put it that way.
Now, you're one of five children, if I've got that right.
Yep.
Tell me, do the women in your family or your girlfriends, do they inspire your stories? And I'm wondering, too, like, do they eventually stop sharing things with you for fear that they might star in your next book?
Oh, no.
Like,
no,
I would stop telling you.
I don't violate anybody's privacy.
Oh, okay. Uh-uh. Okay.
No, I've been doing this too long. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do that. I could sever friendships. And no. I mean, I do have a little bit of an imagination. And, you know, I used to read horoscopes. And so I use all kinds of devices and resources to come up with characters. And it's not hard to realize how different we all are. And one of the things that I know that you need to do when you tell a story is characters need to be antagonistic. If everybody just got along and everybody was hunky-dory, you have no story. Mm-hmm. So there's got to be some level of angst and frustration. And somebody, they all need to want something. And it may not all be the same thing, or they may not even know how to get to where they think they want to go emotionally or whatever it is that they're trying to do. But to me, a story is an unfulfilled dream.
Ooh, I like that.
Pardon?
I like that. A story is an unfulfilled dream.
That's dramatized in an attempt to try to achieve it.
We're speaking with best-selling author Terry McMillan. Her new book, It's Not All Downhill From Here, is available now. Terry, when did you realize that this formula of focusing on the strength in women was going to be successful?
Well, I didn't. I mean, first of all, I don't really see it as a formula because, I mean, I wrote a book from a male and a female character's point of view, and I've never been a man, but It's not a formula. I mean, there are certain rules when it comes to writing fiction that you're first and foremost, your character has to want something. That's something that they should be trying to get. And it doesn't have to, it's not necessarily anything that's tangible. But there's there's something wrong right that moment in their lives when, as a writer, I choose to enter their world. And the idea is that most of us try to resist, and because sometimes it requires a lot of work, and some of us are lazy or some of us are scared, but it's not going to go away. You're not going to be able to get happier or achieve any level of success, and that success doesn't have, I don't mean that literally, but just to be able to get over something that may be causing you to stall or feel bad or hurt, or that you're impatient. It can be anything, but that's where you start, and it's not hard. I mean, I can make up a character. It's not hard,
yeah.
But I try to give my characters problems that are realistic.
Right.
That I know other people probably go through. And, you know, I'm not trying to be a magician, but I want them to have to work or at least come to understand that they're not doing themselves any favors the way they're living their lives or in one situation or about a certain topic. And it's you know, I mean, there are 326 or 56 million of us, and each and every one of us is unique. And some of us share the same problems and issues and concerns, and I just choose the ones I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have to take a quick break, but we'll have more with author Terry McMillan right after this. Stay with us. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. This is 1A.
Right now, every household in the country is being asked to fill out the U.S. Census. It's the form that helps us determine how voting districts are redrawn, where to build public schools and hospitals, how to spend federal money. So why are some people afraid to fill it out? We're getting into all that this week on NPR's Code Switch podcast.
Back now to our conversation with Terry McMillan, author of It's Not All Downhill From Here. Terry, I want to bring it back to your childhood. Terry, you let's go back to the teenage years. Did you work in the library? This was back in Port Huron, Michigan. Tell me.
Oh, I was 14. It was my
14?
First job.
Oh, was it? So
how
was life then? Like, you know, and did that job shape your career? Like, did you know, going from the library to, you know, best-selling author would be your path?
Oh, Lord, no. No, I wanted to be a key punch operator, which no one probably has ever heard of.
What is
which
that?
Which was the first computers.
Oh.
I was 14, and I was what would they call us? I'm blanking right now.
You mean your job at the library?
We had to shelve the books.
Oh, okay. We'll just call it Shelver. Shelver.
Pardon?
We'll just call it a Shelver.
Yeah. But that was how I discovered, because there were no books in our house. It was a Bible. And I would get lost in the stacks. And I remember Louisa May Alcott. And then when I saw James Baldwin, I was like, whoa, those big old eyes staring at me. I was like, you mean black people write books? And I would sneak in the dumbwaiter. I would go into the bathroom, the ladies' room, and put my feet up. I would sit on the toilet, but I'd put my feet up so nobody would know anybody was in there. And that's how I started reading.
Okay.
In addition to Bartlett's Book of Quotations. And they all just sort of fused. And I just realized, also, I think back then, just how unhappy a lot of people were when I was growing up and how everybody seemed to be struggling. And then I'd look at TV and the Adventures in Paradise and Donna Reed and Father Knows Best, and I was thinking, there is a dichotomy here. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. And I just wanted to know why things were the way they were, why our lives were the way they were, why we didn't have a front porch, why there was water in our basement, and you know, why sometimes I shoplifted so that I could get a piece of candy. Mm. There were just a lot of things. And there are a lot of people that were around me growing up that were sad, that were poor, that were miserable. And I just thought, this is not right. Something is wrong with this picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I was not going to grow up to be miserable. I didn't even think about poor, or it wasn't about that. It was just, this is not what I felt like we were put on this earth to do and feel. So there's more to it. And I wanted to find out what it was. And so I started lying.
You started lying?
I used to write poetry. That's how I started, to be honest with you. And it was terrible poetry.
So tell
but
us.
I don't even know how. I still have all those little poems.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, besides writing the next book, Terry, quickly tell us, what else are you doing? And can we expect any more film adaptations, maybe?
Honey, I don't know. Right now, Hollywood is closed anyway.
That's true.
But I've never thought of any of my books as films. It just so happens that it worked out that way. I don't write a book thinking, oh, God, what a movie this will make. No way. Uh-uh. I take what I do too seriously to be thinking about it that way. I'm working on a new book.
Oh.
I have about 100 pages, and it's about... Well, I don't want to say what it's about.
Well, don't tell us. Well, tell us maybe roughly when we can expect it.
I don't know. This one just came out 2 days ago.
I'm trying to rush you here. I'm trying to rush you. You know, to get the next. Because I know once I finish reading, it's not all downhill from here. I'll just be salivating. I'll want more. I'll want more Terry.
No, so. Well, I hope you like it.
I'm sure I will.
I hope you like it. But probably I usually give myself a year.
Okay.
And I have about 100 pages, 120 pages. So we'll see.
Well, thank you for your time, Terry. Your latest book, of course, is called It's Not All Downhill From Here. We appreciate you joining us. Such a pleasure to have you on 1A.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me. Stay safe.
Thank you. Now, before we take off, time for today's act of kindness. Ever since the coronavirus outbreak here in America kicked in, you've been sharing with us and the rest of the country some moments of kindness and generosity in your lives. Today's story is from Vanel, a costumer in Chicago, Illinois.
Chicago area theaters have donated materials, fabric, and elastic to this great cause, where Chicago Shakespeare Theater has partnered with the University of Illinois Chicago Hospitals to create masks for their patients. They received a grant, hired us out-of-work costumers, I received my delivery yesterday, and I'm so excited to get started, to be able to help my community, and also to be able to pay some of my bills. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so proud of my Chicago theater community.
Vanel, thank you so much for sharing your story. Also, with acts of kindness, we want to hear from you. Tell us, what acts of kindness and empathy have you seen in recent days? It can be big, it can be small. It can have everything to do with this outbreak, or it can have nothing to do with it at all. Just let us know. You can tell us your story, 855-236-1212. That's 855-236-1212. You can leave us a voicemail there. You can also leave us a message on our free app. That's the 1A Vox Pop. This conversation was produced by Hector Alejandro Arzate and edited by Matthew Simonson. To learn more about them and the rest of the team, you can visit the website at the1a.org. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. Until we meet again, I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thank you so much for listening. This is 1A.